So for 18 years, the law was looking for you. Didn't do a great job looking for you because you were right there in the first place. You did not move. You did not try and flee justice. You just happened to change your name.
Yeah, and there's a purpose for that. It's in our old traditional way. When we change something so drastically in our life, we do change our name. And we change our name to go with a new vibration that we want to bring out. I can say vibration because I've been raised inside this time, and we know what vibration means. But in the old time, you would never hear nobody say that. None of our native people would talk about the vibration. They just say the spirit, and that's it. Nothing else said. You'd have to learn what that means and figure it out. But I changed, yes, I changed my name. And the thing that got them is that I never changed my address. I never changed the address, and there was never nothing else sent there. And I just give thanks that it's all complete now and that it's gone, because I learned from it. I learned a lot from it. And
you had been on probation.
Yes.
And then the police came to your house one day, and you didn't know what that was about, and you just left. And that was the beginning of the whole story, basically, because you were then in violation of the terms of your probation. So that offense, you later, I mean, just earlier this year in late 1997, you had to serve a penalty for.
Yeah. Well, I left before I knew everything. I made up my mind to leave before I knew all those things. And I did not know about those things. You know, I did not know. And I knew about the probation parole violation because I left from that, but I didn't know about the new things that they were trying to say that I did. And, they were saying that I did this, and they were so apt on getting me, you know, that they looked for me that 1 year, I guess, and not too long, though, about, I don't know, the first 4 months, they sent from April of 79, I think it was, and that's all they sent out. And then I was back here in the Seattle area since then, in 79. I just was gone for 4 months, and then I came back. I've been here ever since, and what baffled me and a lot of other people is that I've gotten my passport. I left the country to go do lectures about our way of life here. I've been ordained a minister in many different groups, gathering churches. Yeah, they're churches. And I've been ordained inside of many different churches as a minister because they really appreciate my feeling about life and how I respect things. What I wanted to get, though, to is to let you know that's the reason why I'm so good at what I do, is because I come from the darkness. I know what the darkness looks like. I've been there. I touched it. I've been it, you know. So I know the difference. So when I do light things, it's really powerful. It's really very, very dynamic for people, you know, to experience. Sometimes I get people coming to me, not only women, but sometimes men, asking me if I'll marry them. In this time, this is a great time of change, men and women, you know,
to serve as the you know, as the official, or actually to marry them.
No, to actually marry them. You know, they want me to be their husband.
I see.
You know, like this.
I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's right. Thank you.
Now, I said at the beginning of the interview, it's almost inconceivable that you could have lived a life like that. And the reason why it was conceivable is because I wasn't too far away from that myself. So that's why I could conceive of it.
Yes.
And, you know, I did many of the same things that you did, but I'm not Indian. I mean, way, way back eight generations, there's a little bit of Mohawk, but, you know, as far as they're concerned, I don't know what they think about me, whether he's another white guy or whether he looks like the guy who blew up the World Trade Center. I'm not sure what goes through their minds. Let me restate that we are talking with Beaver Chief. He's a Northwest Native Indian doctor coming from a long line of Indian doctors. And he's quite a friend who plays in Peoria Productions in the Northwest Spoken Word Lab, and we welcome him back today to tell his story about why he was in jail for the last month of 1997 and the first couple of months of 1998. I'm Paul Nelson. Well, the end of the story regarding the jail time is that you were brought up on charges. They tried to bring you up. Well, they did bring you up on charges, and those charges were acquitted. And it was like they couldn't use the 18 years of fleeing justice against you because, like you said, you were at the same address. You were here. You were conducting sacred circles. You got a passport and what have you. So their case became rather thin after a while. Now, I started the interview with the suggestion that maybe it was the Bolt decision and the very strong feelings that people had, the ancestors of the settlers, because I still see this too today, you know. And there's still a lot of anger about that. And yet, what's there to argue about? Half of nothing is still nothing, and that's pretty much what has happened to the salmon runs with the advent of the dams and industrialized society.
Yeah, that was part of it, but the biggest thing was the Leonard Peltier ordeal that went down over in Pine Ridge and all these things. The federal government wanted to wipe out all Native American Indian people. They still do, but now they call themselves something else instead of just the federal government. There's a lot of people wanting to take us out because we do tell the truth about things, you know, and we bring it out. We don't hide things. If you ask a Native person, they will tell the truth. And this probation parole officer always said that he would get me because all Native Indian people need to be put in inside of prison and lost, you know, for good. And I believe it was because of that, because he always mentioned that. The Leonard Peltier thing, you know, besides the Judge Bolt decision, I mean, that was just here, but the other thing was all across the country.
And you're talking somewhat about American Indian movement and the fact that Native people started standing up for their rights and started pointing out the fact that not one treaty that the U.S. government signed with the Indians has ever been honored. Not one.
Yes.
Every single one has been broken.
This is the truth.
Yeah. It's like the American government's dealings with the United Nations. You know, we want to ignore the rulings that we disagree with, but we want them to enforce the rulings that we agree with. So it's kind of like America, as the last bastion of imperialism, wants to still call the tune. And it's not working that way in this time, isn't it?
Not at all. Over in Switzerland, when I'm over there, I hear nothing but the American government telling the Swiss people to pay the Jews all the gold that they had in their banks for the Holocaust victims. And I look at that and I think, well, what happened? Wait a minute now. What's going on with the Native American Indian people in the United States? Why didn't the Swiss government turn and ask the America, our great America, about our Native people that have been killed and never counted? They've been killed across the United States, never counted. Our culture has been ripped from us. At least the Jewish people got to hold on to their culture. They got to hang on to that. They know that. Their children know that they were killed for that. But here, we had to learn all the English language. We had to put on the clothes that everybody else wears. We had to cut our hair the way that everybody else looked to be a good American citizen. This is something that has been really hard ever since I was small. And this is what led me into different things, not respecting the government. But then when I got older and my son was born, I wanted to change something. And the only way that I could see positive change is without violence, but with positive love and understanding what these people are going through, and also to learn more about them. And then I can bring out what we are going through after I learn their way. And that's what I've been doing. I've been learning the ways and understanding that more. And it's been one thing after another. Now I'm teaching to people, this Seattle area is considered the last stronghold for spiritual medicine in the Northwest and all over this planet. The whole United States and the elders from all the other tribes and nations know this, that this is the last stronghold for spiritual medicine. And that's why people are coming here from everywhere. And some people are very nuts coming here, but they're drawn here by the Spirit to take care of certain things and in their life. And we have to really watch out what's going on here as far as positive growth, quality growth in the Northwest. And we're growing fast, and things are getting shut down quick. there's a lot of things that I felt for this interview, and I'm feeling right now. There's a lot of things that I wanted to talk about. One thing is that I'm retiring a lot of my healing, what I do out toward the public, and I'm helping other people that I've been working with, like yourself, for years and everything. I'm helping them. I want them to get sharp. I want them to be able to touch the public. I want them, as long as they got the power to do that. I'm not here to convince anybody of anything. I just want to be, and I want to help the other people that I've known that support me in a real positive manner. I want to help them to be the most that they can be inside this spiritual realm in this time of great change. And this time is going to bring a lot of havoc here in the Northwest. There's going to be a lot of things going on. We got to take care. We have to plant our gardens. We have to get ready. We have to take care of our families. We have to really prepare for this time. And it's coming fast. It's faster than we can believe. Sitting here right now, things are happening. And we have to be aware of these things.
The velocity is just amazing. And it's screeching to some kind of maybe not conclusion, but some kind of event.